But sad we only get to sing those one season a year, eh? This beautiful depth to the carols that we sing. In my mid-20s and early 30s, I dabbled in speleology. I know it's a bit late in the piece to confess that to you as a community now. What is speleology? What's another word for speleology? Just so I can come clean on that. What's that? Caving, exactly. Yes, speleology is caving, as it's more commonly known. And it's intentionally choosing to go into kind of narrow, muddy, wet, cold, completely dark underground spaces for fun. And one particular cave that stands out to me was on the west coast of the South Island, near Charleston, that Lou and I did with some friends of ours. And it was a through cave. So you entered the cave at one point, and then a few hours later, you came out at another exit. One of our friends who had been through the cave before was carrying a pack on his back the whole way through that had ropes and climbing equipment that we would need on the way through. And at various points during the day, I'd offered to carry the pack for him, and he just kept declining, saying, no, okay, well. So I was surprised when we got near to the end of the cave that he asked me to take the pack and put it on. I thought, this is a bit strange. We'd entered this chamber that to me looked like a cul-de-sac. It looked like the only way you could get out was the way we came in. But then my friend shined his torch on a hole in the middle of the floor of this chamber. And the hole had the diameter where you could put your hands on either side of it and kind of lower yourself down into it. And as I was lowering myself down through the hole, now wearing this pack that my friend had asked me to put on, he was standing above me at the hole, and he said, hey, Darren. And I looked up and, of course, inadvertently shined my torch into his face. And he had this evil grin on his face. And he said to me, Darren, this is a gift from me to you. And I lowered myself down through the hole, and the nature of his gift became clear to me. We were lowering ourselves through the hole into a very small tunnel, the floor of which was lined with thick mud. The only way to make progress through this tunnel was to belly crawl. However, I now had a substantial pack on my back, which was pushing up into the roof of the tunnel and pushing me deeper and deeper into the mud. As I realized the impact of my friend's gift, I called out a few words in gratitude and heard his maniacal laughter echo around the walls of the chamber above. And I can remember crawling through complete darkness. We'd just turned our torches out for fun and because our heads were down and so you couldn't see anything. But then this pinprick of light became evident at the end of the tunnel and a new energy was found to get out. And I remember literally falling out what was a hobbit hole in the side of a bank in the river. Now, here is Lou. This is Lou coming out of that hole. So note the level of mud coverage on the lovely Lou. And then here is me coming out. You can see the shadow of the pack on my back there. And my friend pulled a Swifty. I remember awkwardly falling out of that hole, rolling over and basking in the sun on my face after hours in the darkness, lying exhausted on the bank, face looking up into the sun and letting it shine on me and loving it. Perhaps you've had a moment like that. You know those moments when you just bask in the sun and feel its warmth on your face? Perhaps you've been in a cave or in a tunnel, or a Wellington summer. And then suddenly the sun appears, glorious. You turn your face towards it, and you revel in its light and its warmth. We're in the season of Advent, a season of waiting, of longing. And the Advent story draws us back to our spiritual ancestors, the people of Israel. Scattered and overcome by world powers, longing for a Savior, longing for light in the darkness, longing for the warmth of the sun on their faces. And this longing is captured in Psalm 80. It's one of the lectionary texts for today. And during this Advent season, we've been drawing on some of the lectionary texts. And in Psalm 80, which is a psalm of longing and lament, it has this repeating refrain. Restore us, O God. Make your face shine on us, that we may be saved. I love that. Make your face shine on us. It seemed that God had turned away. Psalm 80 laments what had happened to the vine, the grapevine of Israel. This is what it says. We were like a grapevine you brought out of Egypt. You chased other nations away and planted us here. Then you cleared the ground and we put our roots deep, spreading over the land. Shade from this vine covered the mountains. Its branches climbed the mighty cedars and stretched to the sea. Its new growth reached to the river. Our Lord, why? Why have you torn down the wall from around the vineyard? You let everyone who walks by pick the grapes. Now the vine is gobbled down by pigs from the forest and other wild animals. God, all powerful, please do something. Look down from heaven and see what's happening to this vine. You can hear the desperation in their words, eh? The people lost, a people overcome, a people in exile, longing for God to intervene in their context. Advent invites us to sit with the waiting and the longing. Because like those people of long ago, we long for God's face to shine on us. Perhaps you can hear the echo of Psalm 80 in your own words, your own longing for God to intervene where you see oppression or injustice, or maybe in your own circumstances where you're longing for light. When God answered the prayers of the people of Psalm 80, God's intervention was paradoxically both smaller and greater than the people could have imagined. The story of God's intervention is told in another of the lectionary texts for today. It's from Matthew's Gospel, and it's a story that you might be familiar with. Matthew chapter 1. This is how Jesus Christ was born. A young woman named Mary was engaged to Joseph from King David's family. But before they were married, she learned that she was going to have a baby by God's Holy Spirit. Joseph was a good man and did not want to embarrass Mary in front of everyone, so he decided to quietly call off the wedding. While Joseph was thinking about this, an angel from the Lord came to him in a dream. The angel said, "Joseph, the baby that Mary will have is from the Holy Spirit. Go ahead and marry her. Then after her baby is born, name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." So the Lord's promise came true, just as the prophet had said. A virgin will have a baby boy, and he will be called Emmanuel, which means God is with us. After Joseph woke up, he and Mary were soon married, just as the Lord's angel told him to do. But they did not sleep together before her baby was born. Then Joseph named him Jesus. Rembrandt, the artist, not the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle, is known as one of the masters. And he is far and away the master of light in painting. This painting of the Visitation of the Shepherds is beautiful. And I love the light in the painting. It makes me think of that cry from Psalm 80. Make your face to shine on us. There it is, emanating from the baby, the Christ child, Emmanuel, God with us. God's face shines on humanity. The story is great and wonderful. Here is love incarnate. Here is God pitching God's tent with humanity. What is love like? Look at Christ. How does love act? Look at Christ. In Christ, God's face shines on humanity. It is a story that is great and wonderful, and yet, paradoxically, it is a story that is small and tenuous. A nervous carpenter from the dubious town of Nazareth. A courageous teenage young woman resolutely committing to the God story. A baby born in a shed out the back of a dodgy small inn in a small town. And this peaceful scene portrayed here will soon get shattered by a violent regime. And this family of Mary and Joseph and Jesus will become refugees in a foreign land. It is a tenuous beginning. And this was such a small and surprising event at some levels. It's so easily missed. And it seems that love often happens that way. Small, loving actions initiated by people that can take us by surprise. Tentative sometimes, often with very small beginnings. The refugee nature of the Mary and Joseph story has had me thinking this week of a refugee story closer to home. Some of you may recall earlier this year that Bridget told us the story of a refugee here in Wellington that Bridget and a community she is part of has been supporting to try and get his partner out of an unsafe country and to settle here, joining him in New Zealand. And some of you contributed financially to the legal processes, and thank you. There are still some financial needs to make this happen, and if you are interested in still contributing, then please talk to Bridget or to me. Bridget has kept me up to date with where things are at with this family. They're not quite there yet, but there's been some new hope in the last few days. The story that's unfolded over the last few months could easily be a book or a movie. It has had dramatic twists and miraculous interventions. Bridget and her community and people in other countries also, through acts of loving kindness, have made a real difference in the process. And so please keep praying that this couple will be reunited and able to make a life here in Aotearoa. Perhaps in our longing for God, our waiting for God, our asking for God's face to shine on us, we miss where that's already happening, where love is at work. God is at work in the small things and in surprising ways. And often through people that we weren't expecting that to happen. I wonder how you might be able to give attention to that in the coming weeks. I don't know about you, but I find this time of the year a little mad. I've said to a number of people this week and heard it said back to me, just the craziness of the season in New Zealand. And sometimes in the busyness and the tension of the season, we can forget to pause. Often there's tension and fatigue. And I wonder how, in the midst of all that, you might be able to create some space to be attentive to God's love at work around you. The other lectionary text for this Sunday is the starting verses of Paul's great letter to the church in Rome. Romans is this kind of dense and profound theological treatise. It's Paul's opus magnum. It's so deep and complex. But it starts with a simple greeting. God loves you and has chosen you to be God's very own people. I pray that God, our Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ will be kind to you and bless you with peace. What a beautifully simple greeting. And this is the message of the Christmas story. God loves you and has chosen you to be God's people. I wonder how you might create space to soak in this story this week, to read the gospel accounts of the birth of Christ, and to allow God's face to shine upon you in the story. Over the last 4 weeks, we've engaged with these great Advent themes of hope, of joy, of peace, and of love. And I pray that you would experience these in your heart and in your head and in your homes this week. And as we look ahead to a new season for Central, may this community continue to grow in these Advent virtues. May Central be known as a community that holds hope for each other and hope for the world around us. Let joy be evident when Central meets. Let peace be offered to those who walk through the doors and into our communities. And let love abound. May people who come into this community see how we love each other, that we speak well of others, that we lovingly care for the brokenness in each other, that we give of ourselves with love for others. And may the way we do that in our church and in our home spill out into the other places and communities that we are all a part of. Let's pray. Advent God, make your face to shine on us. Our world holds both beauty and brokenness. We long for you to make all things right, God. We seek an end to those things that make us less human, an end to oppression and injustice, greed and slavery. Advent God, make your face shine on us. We give you thanks, God, for the hope, joy, peace, and love that this Advent season has reminded us of. Some of us here today are aware of how these feel dim in our lives at present. We need hope. We need joy. We need peace. We need love. Advent God, make your face shine on us. Help us, God, also to be people who share your love with others. Give us eyes to recognize where love is needed. Give us the willingness to offer love in acts of kindness, both great and small. Advent God, make your face to shine on us. Amen.